Hey, this is Jeff Johns, writer of Batman Earth 1, Blackest Night, Flashpoint, and one of the founding creators of Ghost Machine. And you are listening to the Oblivion Bar podcast, my favorite bar. Blue Devil's there quite often.
Welcome to the Oblivion Bar podcast with your host, Chris Hacker, and Aaron Knowles.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 150 of the Oblivion Bar podcast, the official podcast of the Fantasy Shop in St. Charles, Missouri. I'm your grizzled boxing trainer from Philadelphia, Chris Hacker. And joining me this week is the man who carries around a turtle shell on his back and is alarmingly pervy and problematic towards Bulma, my BFF and co-host, Aaron Knowles.
Master Roshi.
Goku. Hello, everyone. Goku. Welcome back.
Find the Dragon Balls.
He loves panties too, for some reason.
He does.
That's a weird.
I love the panties. That's my best Master Roshi. Is it good?
Doesn't he?
Is it good?
Doesn't he use the? It is very good.
Thank you.
Doesn't he use the Dragon Balls at one point to like wish for lingerie for Bulma?
Oolong.
Oh, oolong. That's right. God.
Yeah.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 150 of the Oblivion Bar.
Ding.
This week on the show, we brought it back, Aaron. It's finally back. Our favorite segment on the Oblivion Bar, Battle Royale number 5.
I am excited.
This is our favorite. And we always like to say this with every new installment of the Battle Royale, is that we're always like, oh, we'll bring it back sooner. Like, we'll do it. We won't wait so long to do it again. And we talked about this before the recording. So our first Battle Royale was episode 7. The second one was episode 20. The third one was episode 56. Do you notice that they're getting, it's longer in between each one? And then the last one, Battle Royale number 4, was episode 90. So this is officially the longest amount of time that we've gone without doing Battle Royale.
It's not your fault.
It's not you. It's us, everybody.
It's us.
It's the listeners of the show.
It's not me. It is me.
It's not you.
It's me.
Well, let's go ahead and get out of, let's get all
Please
the,
don't leave me.
Let's get the prerequisites out of the way before we get into the Battle Royale. We're on Patreon, everybody. Patreon.com/OblivionBarPod. Of course, it's the best way to support the show. You could get access to The Grid, which is our Patreon-exclusive weekly bonus podcast, episode transcripts, early access to the episodes you're listening to right now, and Aaron will give you a special shout-out at the end of each of these Oblivion Bar episodes. We also recently restructured our Patreon that way. You can, you know, get a lot of this stuff for a cheaper tier, or, you know, it's easier to support the show, as we like to say, and also you can link and listen to Patreon exclusive content on Spotify. Just tap that banner at the top of the Spotify page of our Spotify page. That's patreon.com/OblivionBarPod.
Sorry. Don't forget, Chris, to mention that we'd love to give free stuff away.
Yes. We love to give free stuff away to our patrons, or programs, as we like to call them, over on, on the Patreon.
Comics, shirts, stickers, the works. The works.
All of that over on patreon.com/OblivionBarPod. Aaron, let's not put it off any further. I'm ready.
No dawdling.
You're my best friend. And I love you. But for the next hour-ish, you're officially my enemy. Do you have anything you want to say before we go?
Burn in hell.
All right, here we go. Hey, Aaron. How do you like to read your comic books digitally?
Chris, it's funny that you should say that. I just started buying and reading my comics on Omnibus.
Ooh, interesting. I actually heard from a little birdie. It's actually backed by some of the top publishers in the medium. It also hosts an extensive back catalog from Image Comics, Boom Studios, Dark Horse, Ahoy Comics, Titan, Vault, and many more. And most importantly, Omnibus supports in-app purchases.
That little birdie's called X now. But also, Omnibus has officially made reading and buying comics digitally the easiest it's ever been.
Wow, that's incredible. And you know what I'm going to do, Aaron? I'm actually going to go right now to my iPad iOS device and download Omnibus. And also right after that, I'm going to go follow them over on social media at the Omnibus app.
Omnibus, for fans, by fans.
In cinemas this Friday, Battle Royale.
Welcome to the Battle Royale.
Maybe I'll include a DJ horn there.
Hopefully. These are your battle royale rules. Ooh, ooh, ooh. The fight will take place in an arena that has indestructible walls with no cover or shields for either participant. The battlefield will be exactly 200 feet long and 85 feet wide, the same size as your standard professional hockey rink. Each fighter will only have whatever is on them based on their general inventory. For example, if you pick Peter Parker's Spider-Man, he will more than likely have his web shooters and his webbed gliders. Batman, batarangs, gadgets, Nightwing, his little sticks, you know, the Incredible Hulk, his unbridled anger.
Does he just have like a pair of those like plastic Hulk hands? Is that all Hulk
has? That would be, is Bruce Banner just Hulk hands?
Yeah, that's right.
And spandex shorts.
That's right, yeah. Purple spandex shorts.
Purple spandex shorts. So they must fight to the death. Let me get back. They must fight to the death. They cannot send for reinforcements unless the battle scenario allows it. Mm-hmm. And there can be no ties.
Although there has been one tie.
We had one tie.
Yeah, it was X-23 and Slimer. We couldn't figure out how to kill someone who's already dead and someone who can't die. How do you? What yes. do you do? That will happen. Everybody,
friends. Yeah. You become friends.
But, yeah.
Each battle. Damn it, Chris.
Sorry.
Each battle scenario will have one specific spin to the match. For example, the battle that takes place in the dark has a large body of water in it, or the arena has no oxygen, or gravity, or floors, or etc.
All the things. Which, Aaron, I meant to ask you before we start recording, do we want to like let the listener know what we have in store for them, or do we want to just put it in the generator? Because this is how we're going to decide, everybody. We have all these battle scenarios. I think we have 12 that we're going to put into a random generator, and then Aaron's going to roll the dice metaphorically, and then that'll decide how, you know, what that scenario is going to be for our two random fighters. Do you want to let them know, or should we let them be surprised?
I think we could talk about them. Let's go over them because it's been a while.
Okay. Let's do it. We have, here's a couple originals. So we have the arena closes in on itself every 10 feet for every 30 seconds. So every 30 seconds, the walls close in ever so slightly. And that makes it for a more close combat type of scenario.
Think Fortnite or any of your battle royale, obviously, hence the name.
Yeah.
Battle royale games where it's just like the storm is coming in, but there's no storm. It's just whoop.
Yep. We have zero gravity. So that'll help folks that have like, you know, rockets or have like flight suits, for instance, like an Iron Man, you know, each fighter gets one sidekick at the beginning of the battle. So you get to, both of us will get to choose who our fighter gets in the battle with them. Kind of like a, what do they call that in wrestling? Like a tag team match, essentially?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like if you had Ash Ketchum, he would choose his Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Probably Pikachu.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have no weapons, no gadgets, strictly hand-to-hand combat, which the funniest scenario that we've had thus far in Battle Royale, which we'll talk about here in just a moment, was it was Tony Stark versus Raphael from the Mirage comics, like the most psychotic version of Raphael from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles versus a human man in his 40s who has a drinking problem.
I really enjoyed it was Nightwing versus a Xenomorph.
That's right. Yeah.
That was a fun one.
That was a good one. That was one where we were in the arena with them, which is actually our next scenario, which is both Chris and Aaron are in the arena to help their chosen fighter in an enclosed protective bubble. So where they're shouting instructions to the fighter, like a Pokemon match.
Go, Xeno!
Use Thunder Smash!
Thunder Clap!
Aaron, go over the next six, because these are brand new, and actually I think you came up with all of them.
Yes, so we got some brand spanking new scenarios for you folks. A pitch black arena. So just imagine it's just completely void of light, except for, again, whatever the fighter might have with them, you know, whether it's like laser eyes or, you know, something like that.
Samus might have her
visor.
Yeah, her visor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Constantly falling arena. So this is like, imagine like skydiving, but no ground.
Yeah.
Okay. Royal Rumble multiplier. So this is each character will be multiplied by three. So it's just going to be a Royal Rumble.
Should we
battle
put in
royale.
A time limit? So like maybe every 30 seconds?
Every 30 seconds what?
Every 30 seconds it multiplies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Every 30 seconds a new set of three pops up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or just it times it by whatever the amount is. So at first it's one extra, then the next one it's four, then eight, and then so on.
Got it. So you got, next is the lava pit with three concrete slabs. So probably the two they start off on, maybe one in the middle. We're just going to leave it with that. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the water pit. Obviously it'll give, you know, a little bit of a boost, a benefit to somebody that might be a water-based hero or creature. Then you have number 11, which is our normal battle. So just an arena, no issues, just a normal arena, walls, you know, ready for a rumble.
That's right.
And then our most recent addition.
It's a fun one, too.
Is the Twisted Metal Arena. So just imagine, like, each character gets their own car with whatever kind of associates with them and their power. So, like, probably, you know, again, we talk about, like, Tony Stark. If he had a car, what would his car be like? It would be like an Iron Man suit that could probably do a lot of shit.
Yeah. Just, and we could play with that, too, and you know, kind of play around with it and see. And
think Mario Kart, but, like, you know, with balloons on the back, but just Twisted Metal. More fun, like Twisted Metal. That's a little more mayhem.
All right, so here's our series thus far. So, we, of course, like we said, we've done four before. The first one was, like I said, episode 7. I had won that one, all right? I'm currently winning the series overall, 3-1. Now, again, we should say, Aaron's giving me a little bit of a look right now. We should say that we always decide within these episodes who wins each battle and the overall battle itself. But we put these out to the, you know, to our followers on social media, and, you know, however you want to reach out to us, let us know who you think would win these battles. That's how we ultimately decide. So what we say is kind of, it's for the entertainment purposes we decide, but ultimately you listening to this right now will decide who wins these battles. So
yes,
battle number one was Ash Ketchum versus Master Chief. We had Silver Surfer Black versus Kirby. We had Kevin McAllister from Home Alone versus Clayface from Batman the Animated Series. We had Swamp Thing versus Captain America from Endgame. We have Tom Barry from Final Fantasy versus Doom Slayer from Doom. And then we have Predator versus RoboCop. And those are both from
the movies. If you want to see how these fights turned out, we'll let you know that, you know, Chris won that one. But if you want to go back, remember episode 7, one of our very first episodes, go back and check that out. And you can see who won according to us. You're going to need to do some digging in social media if you want to see who the fans picked. But again, you can see who won by listening to that episode.
That's right.
Episode 2, or the second episode, the second Battle Royale that we did was episode 20. So Chris won this one, but if you wanted to go back and check it out, episode 20, the first battle was, now I'm going to forget this guy's name.
Sean
from Shaun of the Dead. How did I forget the title?
You've got red on you.
You've got red on you. Sean versus Cable.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you got Miles Morales versus Mario.
Mm-hmm. Mario.
You had Mario.
Mario.
And then you got the 10th Doctor, David Tennant, versus King Shark. Mm-hmm. Then you have Voldemort. Why anybody would choose Voldemort? I have no idea.
Chose Voldemort.
Versus Dracula.
Harry Potter. The boy who lived. Comes to die.
To die.
Avada Kedavra. I think we did that in the episode too.
Yeah, probably.
The boy who lived.
Comes to die. It's so fun.
It's so fun.
Yeah. The next was Mandalorian versus the Joker.
Yeah.
And then Chris Redfield versus Squirrel Girl.
Yeah. And something we haven't done thus far that we should be specific about is that we choose which universe or which adaptation of these characters specifically. So, for instance, in that last one, Aaron picked the Joker from the Injustice universe. And I picked, also you had, Nathan Summers Cable from Marvel Comics, not from Deadpool 2 or any other adaptations. So
exactly. Like my choice of Dracula was from the Castlevania series on Netflix, you know?
That's right. Alrighty, up next we have Battle Royale number 3. That was episode 56 once again. We have Vincent Valentine versus the Green Ranger.
I won this one.
Tommy Oliver. We have the comedian versus Bowser. I think that was one of the tag team ones. We have Future Trunks versus Seth Roth. That was a fun one. That was like one of the best random fights. I can't remember who decided. I think it was it split between who we decided, because I think we picked Seth Roth, but I think online they picked Future Trunks. But that could have been a popularity contest, because I think
that was definitely a popularity contest.
We spoke about this earlier, but Nightwing versus a Xenomorph, and then we have Beatrix Kiddo, aka Kill Bill, or the what do they call her? The Black Mamba from Kill Bill versus.
I should have been Black Mamba, Vivica A. Fox.
Yeah. Versus Optimus Prime from the Transformers. I wonder who won that one, everybody.
Mm.
And then our very last battle, Aaron. Why don't you take us into battle round number 4?
Okay. Well, I just want to point out again that was episode 56 was battle royale number 3 that I won.
Yes.
I should have won way more. Anyways,
I think you we chose that you won battle round number 2, but then the people chose that I won.
Fucking people.
Democracy is a lie.
Democracy is bullshit. So Battle Royale number 4, which was episode 90. So the first battle was a Weeping Angel from, again, you can see Chris is where his nerddom lies, right. Obviously. Weeping Angel from Doctor Who versus Pikachu. Mm-hmm. And then you have Raphael from the old school, you know, Mirage Comics.
The murderer.
Versus Iron Man. Then you had, and this is...
Blanca?
Blanca, yeah. Blanca from Street Fighter versus Samus Aran, mm-hmm. in her... what did they call, whatever, I forget the name of the species, but her suit.
Yep.
And then you have X-23
Laura name? Kenny
Laura I was gonna say Lana Laura Kenny versus Slimer.
Mm-hmm. isn't his human name just backwards, like rhymes or something? What's how do you say Slimer backwards?
Remmels. Yeah. I don't know, that's a good question. I don't know if we ever find out what his actual like life name was, but and then the lastly was Darth Vader versus a Gundam, basically Hero Yui and the Gundam 01.
Our conversation with that, because I went back and listened to episode 94, this conversation, we talked about how in that one, it was pretty much an easy, like Darth Vader, the way the battle starts is, because we're in the arena with the two fighters in that one.
Yeah.
We talked about how Darth Vader just opens his, raises his fist and closes it, and the entire Gundam just kind of collapses in on itself.
Yep. He did that in the movie, just, yep. You know. So that was
This is before Obi-Wan Kenobi too, and he obviously does something similar in that series. So Aaron, we wanted to dedicate this Battle Royale number 5 to someone who's near and dear to our heart, both as fans.
Very influential.
Yep. Yeah. And I want to hand it off to you. I want to hand the baton off to you because you're much more of the anime fan, but I will say that when it comes to my love of anime, this man right here, someone who recently passed away, is a main, I'd say a major reason why I love anime as much as I do now today.
Absolutely. So, you know, not saying that anybody doesn't know this, but, you know, at the beginning of this month, March 1st, Akira Toriyama, the Japanese manga legend who created the enormously popular and influential Dragon Ball series, as well as character designs for Dragon Quest series, Chrono Trigger, and Blue Dragon, which happens to be one of my favorite and most underly appreciated, unsung, amazing, you know, pieces, died of a brain condition on March 1st at the age of 68.
Mm-hmm. Really young.
Very, especially these days. Conversations like what we are about to have, and like many have had before and after us, may have never existed without Toriyama's influence. So this battle and discussion will be forged in his honor. So as Akira would say, thank you and goodbye. And before we close out this, I think it'd be important for each of us kind of to say like the impact, mm-hmm. which I know you kind of already said, but I just want to kind of like go into a little bit more. I grew up on anime. Like my dad was an anime fan, and Akira Toriyama obviously has been just a foundational like cornerstone in the anime and manga just world since, you know, longer than many of us can remember, for decades. And so it's just, this is a, you know, this, it's a sad loss for, I don't know, just for people, for the industry, for entertainment, for video games, like just the influence across all these different industries that Akira Toriyama had. You know, we've seen, since I was a kid, I've seen, you know, Goku versus Superman, like cartoons, and like, you know, everybody, like that's, imagine creating, and I know you already know because you like you're in the comic book industry, but imagine creating one of the most influential like characters that people just constantly want to know, like who could beat him.
One of the greatest conversations in nerd culture in general. Like, yes. Talk about, like that is there's a whole industry behind just the idea of putting this character versus this character. And as Aaron just said a moment ago, this conversation, this Battle Royale segment that we've done has been either directly or loosely inspired by our love of not only Dragon Ball, but, you know, a lot of what Akira Toriyama has created over in anime. So yeah, like you said, it's a monumental loss, and it would feel really gross and weird not to just like acknowledge his passing before we do a brand new Battle Royale segment, because he is so intrinsically connected to not only anime, not only like nerd culture, but just like action entertainment, like not just within the anime segment, but like think about how big Dragon Ball is just overall in general. Like,
yeah, it spans all like so many industries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you again, Akira Toriyama, for your influence. We appreciate you and everything you've done for us, and just, you know, what Dragon Ball means to nerds everywhere. But let's get into our battles, Aaron. Let's get into our very first battle. You have your randomizer set and ready to go for our scenarios. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to give us a little bell. And we're ready for battle number one. So let's pick our random fighter. I have... My first fighter is Jane Foster's Mighty Thor from Marvel Comics.
Mine is Stanley Ipkiss, a.k.a. The Mask.
Right on three. You're under arrest.
No, it wasn't me. It was the one-armed man.
All right, I confess. I did it, you hear? And I'm glad, I tell you.
All right, give us our scenario here.
The scenario is actually number four. No weapons, no gadgets, strictly hand-to-hand combat.
All righty, so we have essentially... a Asgardian god versus a man with, so can he use his mask?
So, I mean, that's, yeah. So he is the mask that he comes with. I wouldn't say that's a weapon or a gadget. That is essentially who his character is.
Yes.
But what's kind of interesting about this is that the mask is the mask of Loki, god of mischief.
Yeah, you're right.
Mischief.
Yeah.
So basically you got to think of now it's almost God for God.
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially. You know? No Mjolnir, no Awuga horn, no large mallets. What else does Jane Foster have? She obviously has her normal like attire. She has like her cape and her helmet and all the things.
But I mean, she's obviously got to be strong.
Yeah, she's got the power of Odin. You know, all of that, right? But like just without Mjolnir. So would we say that Mjolnir is like intrinsically connected to Thor in the same way that the mask is connected to Stanley? Because without Jane Foster, without the hammer, without Mjolnir, Jane Foster cannot transform into Thor, the Mighty Thor.
Okay, I'm going to throw this out there. This might be controversial. If we're going to go with no weapons and no gadgets,
okay,
then maybe no hammer, no mask, and therefore now you have a cancer-ridden woman versus a really nerdy like bank teller.
Okay, this makes for a more interesting conversation, I think.
Which now we just have a problem because this is domestic violence.
Yes, now we have to call the authorities because this is a good deal. Like we are accomplices to this, Aaron.
Yes, but I'm going to say this: if he had to, gun pointed at his head, Stanley Ipkiss could beat up a cancer-ridden Jane Foster. I'm just saying.
Because Jane Foster's also spent time in S.H.I.E.L.D. She has obviously trained in some things, but she is also dying of breast cancer at the time that she becomes the Mighty Thor. It's kind of interesting. Jason Aaron's Thor run is one of my favorite runs of all time from 2014 until I think 2020 or 2019, I think. No, it was 7 years. But regardless, during that time frame, there was this mysterious Thor that shows up after the original Sin event through Marvel Comics. Obviously, Odin's son loses the power of Thor. It was Gore the God Butcher whispers something into his ear and he becomes unworthy. And for the longest time, you think, why is Odin's son no longer worthy? And then randomly, this random woman who we don't see for like almost a year in Marvel Comics shows up on the moon, grabs the hammer and strikes in the air and becomes the Mighty Thor.
So, okay, here's the other question that I have. And I don't mean to keep throwing different scenarios out there, but so we're talking about Stanley Ipkiss as the mask and Jane Foster as the Mighty Thor just poof appear in the arena.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the actual thing,
the arena that takes over the setting.
Yeah. It takes over. So no gadgets, no weapons. So basically just imagine like the hammer just drops and she cannot use it.
So it's in the arena.
So it's in the arena, but she already is the Mighty Thor. Like if the Mighty Thor were to throw her hammer, she doesn't just turn back into Jane Foster.
Right. Okay. That's a good point. So, I like where your mind's going. Yeah.
And I hate arguing for yours.
Well, it's fair. I would do the same thing for you if you know.
But Stanley Ipkiss is already the mask. So he's already turned. It's basically him. It's part of him. So you can't just like rip it away.
Right. He has to take it off himself.
Yes. So now you have the mask, a.k.a. Power of Loki.
Yeah.
Versus a hammerless Jane Foster.
Okay.
Mighty Thor.
We found it. 5 minutes into this battle, we finally have set the battle.
But does that make sense?
It does. I agree. Okay, we'll go that.
Because I don't want like a really nerdy guy beating up on a cancer-ridden woman. That's not fun.
that's not highbrow entertainment. That's not what we do. That's not what we're about here at the Oblivion Bar. We're here for family fun, you know. So, what are your initial thoughts here when they notice each other. They realize that this is a battle to the death. What is the mask's first? What's it, besides making a joke and farting, what does he do?
Ooh, smoking. Somebody help me.
I would say, honestly, I feel like the mask has a little bit of an upper hand here.
Okay.
Because he has the ability to turn, like to create just, so we're talking no weapons, no gadgets, but he's able to like modify his body. He's able to take an unknowable amount of damage. And as we've seen, you know, I don't know how far the limits, you'll have to tell me, I don't know how far the limits of what Jane Foster's Mighty Thor can take as far as, you know, damage.
I mean, she is essentially as strong as Thor. So she has the power of Thor. There's no real difference. And I hate this argument. You know, you
always hear words. But he's not immune to pain.
Right. And neither is she. She's been defeated as well.
Yes. So I'll read you real quick the powers of Loki.
Okay.
Or the mask of Loki. So the mask has all the powers from the mask of Loki and therefore is a superhuman who has cartoonish powers along with having a superhuman intelligence, which I think is an upper hand.
P-A-R-T-Y? Because I gotta.
He's immune to every kind of pain. And is immune to almost any kind of disease except for the common cold. And is this, he is a shapeshifter, so he can stretch any parts of his body, like his neck, his arms, his legs. He can also change his head into any animals, such as dragon, a dog. Power to wrap anything he sees into anything he wants, such as turning a car into the Maskmobile. So, yeah.
I give a slight advantage to Jane, because she is one of the strongest gods in the Marvel Universe at the time of her becoming the Mighty Thor. And while I think that, although the mask is like a walking cartoon, and he can, like, woo, woo, like do the whole like lift his legs up over his head kind of thing. We see in the movie that he gets shot at one point and he turns to normal, right? Like somebody hit one of his cloths and it goes back to being his pajamas, right?
Yes.
So I think that if Jane can get in, grab him and start hitting him, like eventually some parts of him is going to start to fade away. Does that make sense? Am I grasping here?
I feel like clothing is not him. Like he can create and wrap things in clothing. And when it takes damage, those things will lose like that aspect of power. But anything still like connected to him, anything like a part of him is still nigh impenetrable, nigh invernal. Or I mean, not nigh invernal, but almost invulnerable like to pain or damage.
Yeah. Okay. So let's hear some powers from Jane. And our first battle is always the longest, everybody. These will speed up eventually. Superhuman strength, superhuman speed, enhanced vision, depth perception, mystical teleportation, flight, Asgardian philosophy. I don't know what that means. Possesses various superhuman attributes common to Asgardians. So, yeah, essentially just Thor, right? And the way I kind of view it in my brain and why I think I'm giving a slight edge to Jane in this battle scenario is that anytime that Thor is on an Avengers team, anytime he's in a battle, he is a powerhouse. He is the most powerful person on the battlefield and, you know, 9 times out of 10, right? And that's why a lot of times in comics, writers will use the defeating of Thor as sort of a power gauge for another character. So like, for instance, like in Silver Surfer, when Silver Surfer and Thor go up against each other in Silver Surfer 4 back in the day, that battle was stagnant. They basically just like they drew, right? And that was to show everyone this brand new character of Silver Surfer that he is as powerful as Thor, which was wild, I'm assuming, at the time. Of course, this is in the 70s, so I don't know. But my whole point is that I just think that Jane is a powerhouse and she is as powerful. And I was starting to get on it a moment ago, but the incel like, oh, Jane's female Thor. Female Thor is one of my least favorite words in the human language. She's the Mighty Thor. She is as Thor as any other Thor. And that's kind of my argument for her. So what are your thoughts?
This is difficult for me because
this is a toss up for sure.
The mask is a conduit for Loki's power.
But how many times has Thor beat Loki?
But that's the thing is Loki constantly. Okay, so here's where I'm trying to defend my own character, because in the relationship between Thor and Loki, and we're talking like Thor and Loki, okay?
Yeah. Yep.
Not Mighty Thor, Thor. Loki constantly takes advantage of Thor's brotherly love. And that's why he's able to constantly to outthink him. And then the other thing is, you know, I don't want to argue for your side. Jane is very smart, but she's not super intelligent.
What do you mean?
She has the powers of a god, but she does not have the intelligence of a god.
Jane is a doctor.
She's a doctor.
She's a doctor.
She's smarter than a god.
She works for
SHIELD. She's smarter than a god, Chris.
The version we're talking about with the mask is not that smart. Like the movie version is not that smart.
one of his powers that he gets is super intelligent.
But we don't see that. We need like, we could say all day that he's super intelligent, but in the movie, he is this horny, pent up cartoon character. And he can lose. He loses multiple times in the movie, not only to a gun, but also to the guy.
He doesn't lose. The only time he loses the mask is when he gives it up.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's do the randomizer. You want to do, like, if we can't determine a winner, should we have a default to where we, like,
a coin toss?
A coin toss, yeah.
Hold on. Give me a reason why he loses. Just
I think it's a sense of durability and strength for me. Jane is we can both agree that Jane is far stronger, correct? Yes. That's not even a question. Jane is far stronger as Thor.
Okay.
Even close.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Because the God of Mischief is not known for strength. Correct.
Right. Durability. I would say that maybe the mask has a slight advantage there, but as long as Mjolnir is in the arena, Jane does not, it's not like Spawn. She doesn't have a time limit as Thor. She's like, she will continue to be Thor. So like, while he has durability, he is not as durable as she is. And she has the powers of an actual god, whereas he is inheriting the powers of Loki, but not really, not in the sense of like superheroisms.
What is...
God, this battle is going on for far too long. We've wasted so much time.
I don't think it's a waste. This is the whole point of it. I'm just trying to think if there's like a... Does the mask have any... Does Jane have any weaknesses?
No, her weakness... So the whole point of the Jason Aaron Thor is that every time she becomes Thor, she is quickening her end. Like everything in her body that's creating, like the breast cancer, the tumors are, they grow as she becomes Thor. But the thing is, it's saving her and killing her at the same time.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really affect in this because she is Thor the entire time. That's her ultimate weakness, is that when she is not Thor, she is dying. And by the end of it, she's kind of like at the War of the Realms storyline, she is essentially like near death. I think she dies in the War of the Realms.
All right. I'm
That was a valiant effort, Aaron. I will commend you for that. Yeah. Okay, so we've got Jane Foster.
I don't 100% agree, but also
we gotta leave it up to the people.
I think the conduit for a god's powers is probably okay. You know what? The hammer is a conduit for a god's powers as well.
Yeah,
but she does. But you do become whoever holds this hammer takes the powers of the god, right?
Yeah.
So Aaron basically, just it's not that a conduit.
From the top of his head.
You could just become the god. Okay, I'll give it to.
I think they changed it. It used to be he who be worthy. Now it's he or they who be worthy, because of course Jane is a female. So, all right. So battle number one goes to Jane Foster's Mighty Thor. Bullshit. Aaron, that was a great conversation. Maybe far too long, but let's get into battle number two. We've got, all right, random fighter. I have, Aaron, who do you have? You go first.
Okay. So Frank Castle, AKA the Punisher.
Is this from Marvel Comics, Frank Castle?
Yes. Marvel Comics. Yes.
One match. Two match. Penny and I.
Mine is Hellboy from Dark Horse Comics.
Oh, fuck me, man.
You killed my father. Your ass is mine. Boom!
This is an interesting battle. Okay, what's our scenario?
Scenario is pitch black arena.
Ooh. All right. All right. So, Aaron, give a little background on Frank Castle a little bit.
We all know Frank Castle. Well, there are many iterations of Frank Castle. Family was killed by the mob. He's an ex-cop. Or some say, like, you know, like in some versions, he's like special forces, did time with, you know, like SWAT teams, all that stuff.
Vietnam, could be Gulf War.
A weapons expert, explosive expert, counter-intel expert, like expert almost like Rick Flaggish level of just...
Tactically expert.
Yes. Human, just basic human with... superhuman dedication to taking out the baddies.
A walking arsenal, just a one-man army. This guy could take down anybody.
And some van driving skills.
And he's got Micro. Is Micro in here somewhere? Is he helping?
He might be on the radio. He's like, where are you at, man? Yeah.
Hey, Micro, I need help. I'm literally facing a devil.
A devil.
He has a giant red arm. I don't know what's happening. Help me. All right. And his first appearance was in Amazing Spider-Man, I think it was like 129. So that was his first appearance there. I think that'd be fun to kind of include some of that if it's a comic character. But and then speaking of comic first appearances, Hellboy was first appeared in Dime Press number 4 from 1993. It's debated. I think some people believe that it might have been Dark Horse Presents of a similar title. He was like he was on the cover, and I think he was like in a preview, I think, at one point. Mm-hmm. But regardless, Hellboy, of course, is essentially the coming of the apocalypse initially. Like that was his original purpose when he first. Well, it was part of Rasputin's
the Ogro Jihad. Yes.
Yeah. Project Ragnarok was the name of the project, where essentially he was to bring about the apocalypse via the spawn of the devil. And he's supposed to like show up, I think, in like England, but what he ends up transporting somewhere else in the middle of a battlefield, and a doctor essentially adopts him and trains him.
Yeah, so basically, to speak about the Punisher, you're actually right, 100%. Amazing Spider-Man 129, February 1974. Punisher was actually a villain for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So Rasputin, he basically created a device that would open up the ley lines that were in Ireland at this very holy like church, mm-hmm. And that's where he was supposed to pull through the devil, the son of the devil, to be the key to opening up the end of the world.
Yeah, and of course they go on to create the BPRD, which is the Bureau of Paranormal Research and Defense, with Abe Sabin and Liz, I think, is kind of like a pseudo love interest, especially in the movie. Mm-hmm. But Hellboy essentially is it's different, because in the movie
Johann Kraut,
the Guillermo del Toro films, he is kind of like a secret. Like, he's not really he's kind of like a creature of the night kind of thing. Like, no one really knows about him, and no one really knows about the BPRD. They're working behind the scenes. But in the comics, he's kind of like a celebrity. He's like known by the masses that Hellboy is here and he's here to help. And like, it's kind of like the juxtaposition of how he looks versus, and like, not only how he looks, but also what he was brought here for, but who he became because of humanity. Almost like a hellish a Superman in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does
Frank do?
Frank do?
He takes revenge.
He has vengeance in his eyes. Yes. Here's how I see the battle scenario happen. So the arena, it's like a wide shot of the arena. We hear a light click, and it goes completely dark. And you hear Frank's boots, bam, 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 walk up to the middle of the arena. And all of a sudden, you hear nothing. You just hear like a sizzle, like a fire clint. Ignite, and a fire sword comes out from the other side of the arena, and you just see the shadows of this red 6'11", 300-pound red guy. and Frank is like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
So I don't want to just immediately give it to Hellboy just based on the daunting task that it is. How does Frank combat this? Because he has fought pretty insurmountable, you know, folks in the past.
I don't see this going very well in Frank's way.
This is not good.
Because, yes, I imagine that, obviously, Hellboy has spells. He has magical artifacts with him. He has his sword. And he's got his gun is called the Samaritan. So he's got his gun called the Samaritan, which is like this massive gauge, just like, handgun, and it's wild because it shoots like all different types of like magical bullets, and so
and he has the right hand of doom,
right hand
he
of
also
dooms.
Has the Excalibur, which is the sword I was talking about earlier.
Yes,
let's just say for simplest terms, he has the right hand of doom, the Excalibur, and Big Baby.
And there's not a lot that Frank is going to do. He's going to have what's basically on him. Mm-hmm. He's going to have an arsenal. He's probably going to have like, you know, an M16, M4, something like that. He's going to have some grenades, pistol, things like that. But none of that, I don't think any of that is going to do much damage to the son of the devil.
Right.
He is pretty nearly indestructible.
Are there any scenarios that Frank could win this? Like, for instance, like Twisted Metal Arena, perhaps maybe he could win this. Normal battle, I think Frank has a shot, perhaps. He could figure out a way. I mean, you can make an argument. No guns, no gadgets. I don't think Frank wins that one. Each fighter has a sidekick, perhaps. Maybe Frank could bring in, like, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think so, because Frank doesn't really work well with others.
Yeah, he doesn't. He just murder him and then keep going.
Yeah. So I think this is a pretty...
cut and dry?
Cut and dry, yeah.
All right. Poop. Well... that'll happen sometimes, everybody. That's the fun of the randomizers, is that you just never know. But I agree. Hellboy is just kind of a force in this scenario. And I think, let's say like we had, Who was your previous fighter again? It was
Stanley Ipkiss.
Stanley Ipkiss. Do you think the mask would hold up against Hellboy?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think that could maybe happen perhaps. But all right. Battle number two goes to me. Battle number three, we have. Actually, why don't you give us our scenario first this time?
Okay, this time we've got each fighter gets one sidekick.
All right, here we go. And I will have for my third fighter, we have. You're gonna laugh at this, Aaron. My third fighter is Aaron Knowles from Earth 1218.
You can call me Ashitaka.
That's fucked up, man. Mine's Hal Jordan as Green Lantern.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light!
Who's your sidekick for this battle?
For the Green Lantern or for as me?
For Green Lantern. I'm going to pick your sidekick. This is my fighter.
shit. Oof. Flash.
The Flash?
The Flash.
Wally West or Barry Allen?
Barry Allen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. For my sidekick, for Aaron Knowles.
I'm so caught off guard.
For my sidekick, it's going to be Samus Aran.
Okay.
So Samus is coming back from Battle Royale number four. She's helping you out with her armor on. Okay. And you're just a human man. So... Yes. You are but a man, and we've got a tag team match between Hal Jordan and Barry Allen versus you and Samus Aran.
Basically, so you're basically the fight is Hal Jordan, Barry Allen versus Samus Aran because I'm already dead.
How do you help? How do you help in this scenario?
I don't. I'm dead. I die. I am no longer as this character. I am no longer a burden, and I'm dead.
Yeah, you have relinquished your
Samus
your...
was using her super speed or like a, maybe like a super bomb and blew me up.
You think the Flash just like comes over, punches you in the face one time and you knock out immediately?
I'm like
your head
just
falls off,
obliterated, like from The Boys, the first scene in The Boys.
Yes, okay.
Just ran right through me.
So say like you plop down with Hal Jordan, right? And you're like, oh shit, where am I? What is this place? What's going on? And you just you see Hal Jordan with this glowing ring from across the arena. And then all of a sudden, Samus comes up and taps you on the shoulder behind you and is like, hey, I'm here to help. What would Samus say in this moment to you? What is her personality? Because I'm not like a giant Metroid fan.
Her personality is, again, she's a bounty hunter. She's kind of a solo job type person.
Oh, supposed to work well with others?
Yeah, so she has like a guy in a chair, generally, mm-hmm. Who's on like, you know, in her ear. Yep. But other than that, yeah, she's usually a solo adventurer. She doesn't really talk much, so she's quiet because you don't really have much of a voice. She doesn't really have much of a voice in the games, really.
She lets her work do the talking.
Exactly. So she's just very much... I mean, I wouldn't say that there's anything for like reckless or anything as far as collateral damage, but she's not afraid to blow up a space station or two that belongs to the Galactic Federation, you know?
That's right.
Taxpayer money.
And then Barry just kind of shows up in a lightning flash. Like,
yep, he's just like, what do you mean?
And he's there, right?
Yep.
All right, so how do you see the scenario playing out in your head? Like, immediately, we're all facing each other, and then the Flash comes up, knocks your head off. Mm-hmm. Samus immediately goes into a barrel roll, right? Do you think that, like, Hal Jordan picks her up with his ring? I'm literally making the case for you right now.
He just makes like a giant fist and just smashes her.
Is the power difference that big between, let's say, a Green Lantern and Samus Aran? Metroid?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, she does not have much of a defense system. She's got depending on how far you are in the game, she gets her little, you know, shield tanks, and once her shield tanks are done, you know, she's just like there's nothing else. She just explodes, you know, she's dead.
Yeah. Okay.
So
and essentially, like we said, once it becomes a 2-on-1, it's a bad deal.
She does have super speed to a degree, but she has no maneuverability really with that. You know, as soon as she changes any form of direction, whatever, she stops like her super like speed, like I guess ability. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she's not maneuverable like the Flash. So pretty much what the Flash could do is just run around her in a circle, like punching her a bunch of times, wearing down her shield, and she would be dead anyways.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I guess it's fair to say that battle number three, goes to you, Aaron, because you lost because you're just a man.
Yep.
Because so essentially, you lost and you won at the same time.
Yep. I'm fair. That's fine. That's fine.
That'll work. That'll work. All right. So the halfway point is 2-1 for me. Let's go into battle number 4. Aaron, give us our scenario.
All right. Our scenario this time is constantly falling arena.
Okay. All right. Here we go. And my fighter is, oh, shoot. Peacemaker, the John Cena live action version.
That's mine.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So it's John Cena versus John Cena?
Yeah.
In a falling arena? Got a beat, got a heat on the phone. It's tear your world apart. Once the magic starts. Do you really want to, do you really want to taste that? What's going on?
But we gotta change that up.
No. This is like Mortal Kombat. Like, I've got a blue shirt on, you've got a red shirt on.
Okay. Different helmet styles.
Yeah. My helmet is black and yours is silver.
Yeah. So that's a good question, though. Okay. If you were to take a helmet into this battle as that character, which helmet would you choose?
I would probably just take the concussive one. The one that he uses to kill that woman at the end of episode 2, I think.
Okay. Fair. I would take Torpedo.
Okay. Which is, when does that happen?
Human Torpedo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Now, does he have like a guiding system on that, or does it just fly? No, he's just going in circles.
He kind of like runs in that direction, like just in like the direction that you're facing, like Human Torpedo.
All right. So let's set up the scenario. So basically, they both Christopher Smiths walk up to each other. Do you really want to? Do you really want to taste it?
I hope you've got some kind
of hair.
Show.
You've got some kind of hair metal playing in the background of the arena, right?
Yeah.
Do they have Eagly? Do either one of them have Eagly with them?
I mean, I would say no. No
okay.
Eagly.
No Eagly in this one. That's a bummer. Okay. And then all of a sudden, the bottom of the floor just gives out. Like it just, it just vanishes. Yep. And they just start falling.
Right? Like that. I was gonna say either like that hole that's in that that castle in Game of Thrones, or like those. Water slides that you stand in there and just goes, whoop,
yeah,
you know.
We mentioned this earlier, but like Loki,
I have been falling for 30 minutes.
So what does your Peacemaker do first, right? So yours is the one we gotta keep this accurate. So yours is the normal looking Peacemaker. Mine is the secondary clothing option Peacemaker.
Okay,
mine has the blue shirt with the black.
Okay.
Mine has the blue. Yeah, it's the same person. It's just,
okay, you said clothing optional, so I'm like thinking like he's in his underwear.
Okay, yeah. So mine is just wearing the underwear, the whitey tighties, and
so
yours
veiny,
is the normal outfit.
Just veiny.
Okay,
so I'm just gonna throw this out there. This is how I see it going.
Okay.
Because they realize they're both Peacemaker, they become instant friends, but they realize also that one of them has to die. But before they do that, they go through the rigmarole of being like twins, like clones, and so they're doing like dick comparison.
Yeah,
they're like flexing and showing like damn, my muscles do look good. Like there's like, this is what you look like from behind, man. I got a nice ass, like all that stuff. Like they're going through it, they're like, oh, I guess we gotta, you know, we're gonna keep falling until we kill each other. So that's when they start like trying to like fight each other, but they're both like not the most intelligent either,
right?
So it just turns into them like kind of like trying to like swim and like skydive towards each other. And so, like, it's about 10 to 15 minutes of that. And once they get there, then they just start beating the shit out of each other until one pushes them away. And then, honestly, I think I'm going to be on top of this one because I'm going to have the torpedo helmet and he's going to use that, you know.
To go through him. Yeah. Okay. All right. So for my angle, I agree with a lot of that. I think, do they have any guns on them? Like, do either one of them have one of their guns?
I mean, they always have because gun, sword. I mean, I don't know. Usually they have like something, but it has to have the Dove of Peace on it.
That's right. Yes. But also we should probably specify. So let's say that like I have the that long magnum that he has.
Yep.
And then you have like the assault rifle that he often carries.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I think just based on clothing alone, unfortunately, I might be at a disadvantage based on helmet and clothing because I'm in my tidy whities and I have the concussive, which I think can knock you out. But doesn't it say, they say in the show that he can only use it once?
Yeah. So there's like a cooldown period.
That's right. So I think once I use it once, you could, unless I kill you in that moment with my magnum,
yeah,
that I might be dead. But okay, so here's my thing. Say are you going to use your torpedo like immediately? Are you going to try to like wear me down and then use that as your final move?
I would say yes. And I'm just going to throw this out there that in the moment, in the scenario situation where, because we each recognize the helmet that the other is wearing, we have to be very strategic to which, you know, to when it's used. Because I would say, like, if you're about to use yours, more than likely, again, you don't have much of protection around you. And especially if I have a, like, so again, your Magnum, mm-hmm. which I think is a Desert Eagle or something. But anyways, yeah. your handgun only has a limited number of rounds. The assault rifle obviously has a bit more. So I have the ability to kind of like spray and pray, or my guy has the ability to like spray and pray, where you got to be a little bit more careful on your aiming. I just think overall, I think my character has it, because it, as long as he can avoid when you use the concussive blast, but at the same time, they're not like in, like, you know, in the same area. They're not like in a condensed area. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. So Peacemaker's suit is actually, it does come with some advantages. So I think just based on that alone, if you're able to penetrate me, because I chose, you know,
careful phrasing,
the clothing option might have done me wrong here, even though it's a funnier option. Yeah. But the actual suit itself does come with some advantages. So I will give you this one, Aaron. I will say that you have won. Your Christopher Smith has won this battle. Although I will say both of our fathers are extremely racist. So
yes,
we're both at fault for that, I think.
Yes.
In some way or another. Less. Yeah, mine a little less, if I'm being honest. But alrighty, so your Peacemaker wins on that one. That is hilarious, by the way. Everyone listening right now, we did not plan that, and it's funny that we both went there, right? We both went there.
Oh yeah, I don't think we ever talked about at the beginning of the show that how we do not tell each other what our chosen fighters are.
Yeah, it's all random. Yeah. Man, that is funny. That's why we're best friends. All righty. I still hate you. All right. So we're currently tied 2-2. That worked out good for the show, for the recording, because we were tied 2-2 going into this final battle. And Aaron, what is our final battle scenario?
Final battle scenario is water pit with 3 concrete slabs.
All righty.
I'm sorry. Godzilla.
Oh, shoot. Okay. All right. Interesting, because mine is Aegon Targaryen of the House Targaryen, the first of his name, and the Dragon Dreamer of Dragonstone. Of the Ice and Fire book series. Not obviously, he's never shown up in the actual shows.
You definitely win the longest name.
Is there any other does Godzilla have any other aliases?
King of the Monsters.
Oh yeah, that's right, of course, duh. That makes sense. Fair enough.
All right,
Godzilla. Okay, that's, we're pushing it. All right, let's settle down. All right, so in this arena, we have basically a giant water pit. But remember, here's what's interesting for you, Aaron, is that we're in a normal arena of like a hockey rink. Godzilla is huge. Like, how big is Godzilla? Look up how big Godzilla actually is, because I think that might play to your disadvantage. I'm going to have a little more agility with
that. We never said if there was a roof.
And I should say as well, and since we're kind of, that's true, we did not say a roof. Damn it, you're right. But his foot just might be the entire arena.
So that means you're squished to the wall. That means you're dead.
Okay. And I meant to say this as well. So we talked about earlier between Jane and the mask about how, like, there's a certain intrinsic part of them that is who they are. Aegon is his dragon. So, like, he has to have Balerion the Black Dread, right? Like, that makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very similar.
I suppose.
Well, I'm saying, like, he has to have Balerion, because that is who makes, that's why Aegon, that's why he goes on his conquest. Aegon's conquest is what creates everyone from the Targaryens from Dragonstone coming to Westeros and taking over that entire, the seven kingdoms, right? So, like, that is so intrinsic. And that's what makes the Targaryens so powerful. They would be inbred, purple-eyed weirdos without their dragons. Like, that's who they are.
So Godzilla is 390 feet tall.
This is how wide he is?
Let's see.
Because our arena is only... God, this is an issue. This is an ordeal. It's only 200 feet long and 85 feet wide.
Okay, so
he's gonna destroy the arena. Can we make that part of the battle?
Yeah.
Like, say, like, let's say, like, Aegon shows up with Balerion the Black Dread. Balerion the Black Dread, by the way, is extremely large himself. Let me pull up his stats as well, just so that we can kind of set the stage.
Godzilla's feet are 60 feet long and 58 feet wide.
I need to figure out how big, because Balerion the Black Dread is known for being the largest dragon of all time. Like, his whole, like, legend, like, at one point in House of the Dragon, they're like having this long conversation with the skull of Balerion the Black Dread next to them, and it is giant. Like, it's this huge thing, right? Mm-hmm. So Balerion and Aegon fly in. Like, they fly in from the shadows. And they're looking around, and all of a sudden, from the top, the entire arena just collapses around them.
Yep.
Like, the walls fall, it's just rubble everywhere. And he's like, think of like Iron Man and the Avengers, where like he's like flying through all of the different alien ships.
Yeah.
This is like Balerion like flying through all the construction.
The rubble.
The rubble.
Well, how big is he? I gotta know how big this dragon is.
So Balerion the Black Dread, also known as the Flying Fox, is around 10 feet long with a wingspan of 36 feet. He's a wingspan of a whopping 453 feet. He is 126 feet long and 450 feet wide.
Well, that's his wingspan, right?
Well, okay. So how long was Godzilla?
He's 177 meters long.
How many meters are in a... I don't... We need conversion charts here.
Oh, shit. 177 meters in feet.
Sorry, everybody. We have to get this right. We have to set the stage.
Okay. That's 580 feet long.
Okay. So essentially, Godzilla is like five times longer than Balerion. Okay. So essentially, he's not like... He's dwarfing both Aegon and Balerion, but it's not a crazy...
Yeah, it's not a crazy difference. Like, I looked at a picture and they're very, like, they're actually comparable in size.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. So, obviously, one is way bigger, but it's, think of like Godzilla and Kong in the first movie. Yes. King Kong is maybe a little bigger than like Balerion, I think.
I would say it sounds like Balerion and Mothra are about the same size.
Okay. Yeah. We'll use that as like kind of a template.
Mothra.
Okay. So, which Godzilla is this, by the way? Can we specify?
Yeah, this is Godzilla versus Kong Godzilla.
Okay, gotcha. So we have
I'm doing all the stats versus on Godzilla versus Kong stats.
Got it. Okay.
So Godzilla, his from the Monsterverse, which is, you know, the most recent version, Godzilla versus King Kong.
Yep.
Going into his, so amphibious, able to breathe underwater, durability. It's supplemented by the radiation that absorbs.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to regenerate. He's able to. He regenerates like almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Advanced body tissue, acute senses, especially a sense of smell and hearing. You know, I guess it's just the big thing for reptiles. I did not know that.
We're learning so much today.
Yeah. Atomic breath, power bite.
Yeah, he has that clenching bite. I will say one of my favorite scenes from all of Godzilla media is whenever in the first Godzilla, he takes one of those monsters and like opens up his jaw and just freezes breaths into his jaw. It is so fucking badass. Yeah. That's one of my favorite scenes from that entire run. All right, let me kind of lay down the line.
Pulse also. Oh, and intelligence. He's apparently
he's very smart. Man. We knew that. Let's lay out Aegon, but specifically Balerion the Black Dread. So Balerion is essentially just a giant dragon. Fire breath, but not invulnerable. Like, in the Game of Thrones universe, dragons can be killed by humans. Not easily, but think of dragons as like nuclear weapons, right? Like, they are these entities that can control control an entire body of people just based on the name alone, right? And they are such an advantage in battle, but they can be killed with very specific strategies. So, like, for instance, at one point in Game of Thrones, obviously some dragons are killed by giant spears,
harpoons,
you know, the ice walkers. They kill them by, I forget how they actually kill them, but then they transform them into walkers as well. Like, they're not invulnerable. And I would say, just for kind of argument's sake, and I kind of feel like this might be a decided win, unfortunately, for someone specific across the way, but Aegon also has his sword, the Blackfyre, which is like the most notorious Valyrian steel sword in all of Ice and Fire. Now, here's how I kind of see the scenario, Aaron. You tell me how, if you see any difference, if there's anything different for this. So again, the arena is destroyed, right? Aegon and Balerion look up, and through the rubble and through the clouds even, they see this giant, you hear that iconic. They hear that scream, right? And they see this giant monster and they immediately go into attack mode. and Valerian comes at him with fire. He's like circling him, fire, and it's like doing something, but it's not really doing a lot, right?
And it's annoying him.
Yeah, it's just annoying him. And Godzilla is using his tail to like swat at Valerian and hits him once or twice even. And at one point, I see Aegon hopping off of Valerian on top of Godzilla's head, takes out his Valerian steel, and tries to penetrate the top of Godzilla's head. But it does nothing. He can't even get it through. Like Valerian steel, the strongest steel in all of Westeros, in all of the entire country, or the entire world in this universe, cannot penetrate this monster. And all of a sudden, Aegon looks down. He like hears this pulsing sound from the bottom of the ocean. And all of a sudden, he sees this blue light. And it goes vroom, 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 vroom. And all of Godzilla's spikes on the back of his head turn blue. And he, in the air, grabs Valerian out of the air, takes him face to face. And you just see this, his mouth open up, and the blue just like incinerates this giant dragon. Then you just see, I don't know what happens to Aegon, but Aegon, this normal human man with purple eyes, is just like, maybe like Godzilla just like flings him off and he goes flying into the air across the ocean.
The other thing I would say is that simply, if he didn't die from the pulse or the heat ray,
yeah,
he's dying from radiation poisoning.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a bummer. Okay. I thought about it while you were talking about like the attributes of Godzilla, about like what would be, where is the scenario where Aegon and Valerian have some kind of, like, maybe if there was a tag team. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, Aegon is married to his two sisters, Rhaenyra and Valyria. They both also have giant dragons. So, at one point, that's how the Targaryens make their way over to Westeros. The three of them with their giant dragons essentially take over the entire nation of Westeros through the power of just pure strength. It's called Aegon's Conquest in the books, right? Maybe if this was one of those scenarios where like he had some help with three other dragons, maybe there's a like small less than 5% chance that they still win. But like one dragon, it's just not happening. So I'm going to cede this win to you, Aaron. And I cede this win overall. Battle Royale number 5 goes to Aaron. How does it feel, Aaron? Press conference. Post fight win.
Oh, man. 110%. 110%.
I want to thank God. And I want to thank my wife. I want to thank Powerade. for their new flavor, Mystic Mountain Blue.
Mr. Mountain Blue. I want to thank tiny baby, 3-pound, 4-ounce baby Jesus. And his golden diaper in the
I'm contractually obligated to thank Taco Bell.
Yeah, if you don't like big red chewing gum, fuck you.
All right, Aaron. So let's just quickly go over our fighters one more time and the winners. So in our first battle, we had Jane Foster's Mighty Thor from Marvel Comics versus Stanley Ipkiss from the movie The Mask. We gave that win to Jane Foster. In the second battle, Aaron, I'll pass it off to you. We had Hellboy versus
Frank Castle, the Punisher. Yeah.
This is Hellboy from the comics versus Frank Castle from the comics. And we chose that Hellboy would win that one, right? Okay, yep. Go ahead and give us our other scenarios.
Straight doom punch to the face.
That's right.
So we had Green Lantern versus me.
Just you
with sidekicks of Samus. So I had you chose me and my side. Why would you choose? Anyways,
I don't know. I thought you'd explain it.
My sidekick would be Samus Aran.
The funniest thing is that I knew, regardless of what the scenario was that I was going to lose that battle, but I just thought it would be funny to have you in this somehow in this arena.
I feel like I didn't win for a fair fight.
No, no, no.
I just wanted to be funny.
There could have been a funny. There's a scenario. The scenarios dictate. Like, what if like Twisted Metal Arena? What if what if like it would have been that? You know,
so. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Oh, I definitely would. I'm a good driver. Yeah. So Green Lantern with Barry Allen, the Flash, versus Aaron Knowles and Samus Aran.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Peacemaker versus Peacemaker.
Yeah.
In the constantly falling arena.
Yep.
check out these glutes.
Oh man.
And then we had Godzilla versus that long dude's name.
Aegon Targaryen of House Targaryen, first of his name, and the Dragon Dreamer of Dragonstone.
Dun, 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 dun. You got to play the music.
What's a better soundtrack? Truthfully and unbiasedly, Aaron. Game of Thrones intro or the dun, 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 Godzilla theme? Which is better? Be honest.
I'm only going I'm only going with Godzilla because every time I heard Godzilla in minus one, the I kept thinking da 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 da
da da da da da da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da.
Yeah, okay. It's close, but I think it might be Godzilla just by a hair. I love the Game of Thrones theme. But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to our Battle Royale episode. That's always a fun one for us. We love that segment. We had to do something fun for our episode 150, and I think that was a good conversation. So again, at Oblivion Bar Pod on all social media, let us know. We'll be posting all the things, so let us know what you think and see if you agree with some of our fights or if you have any difference in opinion. This is always a fun time for both Aaron and I. It's kind of a leisurely episode, less structure. We can kind of just talk about the things that we love. So,
and we love hearing your opinions on these battles. So when we post the
scenarios.
When we post the scenarios and the
winners and
the battle rounds on social media, you know, you guys get to make your choices and tell us, like, it's like a debate. You know, we get to hear why you think we're wrong, you're right, who would win, who would lose. And it's just, it makes it so much more fun for us.
Yeah, obviously we're not experts. Like, none of this, we're not experts in any of this. We just like to talk about it because it's fun. So that'll do it for episode 150 of the Oblivion Bar Podcast. Aaron, we're off next week. As we do, we take a week off after every 10 episodes. But the following week, we're finally talking. We're getting back to New York, back to busting some ghosts, because we ain't afraid of no ghosts, right? And it's a little cold this time around, right?
It is cold. It's almost frozen.
It's almost frozen, I think. Yeah. And we're going to be talking about Ghostbusters, The Frozen Empire. Aaron, you've already seen it twice.
Yes.
And
yes,
I don't want to spoil anything. Let's save that for the conversation. We did talk a little bit about it on the grid if you're curious, if you really want to know Aaron's thoughts on it, because he is a giant Ghostbusters fan. We did talk about it a little bit over on the grid, but ultimately we'll go in depth during episode 151 of the Oblivion Bar Podcast.
And I'm also going to talk about my experience with my first event with the New York City Ghostbusters as well, which was just an overall amazing experience.
Yeah. Excited to hear that. Excited to sit down and talk about Ghostbusters, but that'll do it for episode 150. Aaron, take us out of here.
All right. So subscribe to our podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Audible, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, that's where we are. Thank you to our patrons, Alex, Alice, Aaron, Botter from Shortbox, Cassidy, Chris from the Bada Boom Pod, Christy, David, Elliot, George, Greg from First Issue Club, Haley, Ham 6, Jake from Spectales, Jake S, Jason, Jeremy, Kenny, Kyle, Losey, Mac, Miles, Mike, Robert, Travis, and Brad Lee from Combo Couples Counseling. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky, and Threads at Oblivion Bar Pod. Thank you, Omnibus, for sponsoring the show. Use the link in our show notes to upgrade how you read your comic books digitally. Official merch of the show can be found at our website, www.OblivionBarPodcast.com. Thank you, Kevin Ziegler, for all of our Oblivion Bar art. He's at The Zig Zone on Instagram. Thank you, Dream Kid, for all of our musical themes. Thank you, DJ Skyvac, for our grid theme. Thank you, Fantasy Chop, for sponsoring the show. And last but not least, as we say every damn week, don't forget to tip your bartenders, your servers, your hostess with the mostest, all of that. 20% or more.
That's right. 20% or more. Always do more, actually. That should be the default. But thank you guys so much for listening to the Oblivion Bar for 150 episodes. That's pretty incredible. We haven't really talked about that much this episode, but 150, that's a big deal.
150,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Oblivion Bar. We will see you in 2 weeks for episode 150. One.